looking for a unicorn, like me. I'm just kind of going to do what I feel like doing. I don't really have any rules. You know, I'm just having fun and everything's been really great so far. And I hope that I find somebody. This is not normal life.
Hello, Internet. We are recording live from the home of the 2016 Western Conference NBA Finals champions.
That's right.
Golden State Warriors.
God bless Steph. God bless Clay. God bless Dre.
Digital recording on the DVR.
I'd like to say God bless Comcast but they can really go themselves because they always mess up cable.
Comcast didn't do anything.
Comcast didn't do this.
Limited our options and made us buy a whole bunch of channels we didn't want.
Hello.
Anyway, we're in San Francisco. Go Warriors.
Go Warriors, guys.
And also, what a hell of an episode of
television
The Bachelor was.
We have not seen this kind of animosity, I'd say, in years.
It's testosterone.
Oh, my God. And this is why I love The Bachelorette. Because the testosterone is always so much more fun to watch.
But then
when you get a guy on top of that who is, like, the upper echelon, bro, protein, testosterone, craziness, it just turns everything up to the next level.
I think it's funny because when you get a group of girls together and, like, everybody hates somebody,
yeah.
Like, what happens is that one girl will, like, pull another girl that she thinks is her best friend off to the side and be like,
it's very, yes.
Be like, did you hear what Becky said?
It's very silent.
But the guys,
yes.
The guys will just go up in front of everyone and, like, beat their chests and be like, listen, bro.
That's an interesting point that you say that, because the difference between when you watch the show, watching women confront one another, it's so much more like personal and catty and like behind closed doors. But for this to be the first episode and they are aggressively expressing their feelings against Chad, I just love the dichotomy between the two. I love seeing both ways.
Season of Chad.
Season of Chad, man. I think we need to start with the end of the road before we get into anything else.
Let's do a short end of the road because I don't care about it anymore.
Exactly.
First guy is Brandon. This is the guy who looks like he's stoned all the time and has that long hair, pale face.
This is the hipster. He said one thing at the beginning of this episode, don't remember because I immediately said when he opened his mouth, is he high?
Is he stoned right now?
Is he high? But it's okay because it's loosely legal in California.
No, it's legal. Like, whatever. It's just weed. It's
yeah,
not,
who cares?
Like, it's like, but he's but totally
like,
high.
But, like, don't come on the show high. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Anything else about him?
Nope.
Let's move on.
Okay.
James S., the superfan.
Bachelor superfan. You know, I wish he had been able to stay in a little bit longer.
He seemed like a good guy.
He did seem like a good guy, and he seemed like somebody that you would like to hear a lot of commentary from. You know, because he knows the game.
He seems like he would be good for that, but that's what our job is.
He also seems like someone who, you could almost guess why he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Why would you guess?
He seems like
pathetic. excuse the outburst.
He seems like he uses moisturizer.
like gloves full of moisturizer?
No, not like that. But like, it seems like he sought out a moisturizer at a makeup counter at a department store. Not like a guy that's like, I'm going to put some Dove lotion on my face because I have
like,
it for
excuse
my body.
Excuse me, do you have this moisturizer?
Yeah.
And they were like, no. And he was like, can you ship it here?
Yeah, he seems like he's very particular.
You ship it here? No, to my work address.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. It just seems like he's very clean.
Maybe. Maybe. Let's go to Will.
Again, another person that I don't care about. And he also seemed like kind of a dummy.
I mean, Will's ugly. Like, whatever. Ugly guys don't have a chance.
Will's he looks
ugly.
Like a mouth breather.
He probably is a mouth breather.
He doesn't close his mouth when he talks.
It's because he's too smart to open it.
He's got too many teeth. Teeth, 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 mouth, teeth.
Oh, big time. Super teeth.
Major teeth.
Let's go on to the group date. So these 10 guys all get summoned off the card for
right,
the group date.
Right.
And they come outside to this car.
Blows
and it
up!
Explodes into flames.
Explodes!
And now the reader in me goes, wait a minute, we've got the makings of a murder mystery.
I know, which would have been a very interesting date, but I only think it would have been an interesting date like, once they've gone to another location, like, let's say when they go to, like, quote-unquote Ireland, and then they do a murder mystery. That sounds
James
fun.
Joyce-related Ireland?
Okay.
All right, whatever.
All right, nobody
so, sadly, it is not a murder mystery. It's just a car on fire so that JoJo can drive up in this white wife beater with her boobs just everywhere.
On her neck.
And spray this
breasts
water.
Were on her neck. Water. I was waiting for this to turn into a wet t-shirt contest.
I wouldn't have said
no. I wouldn't have said no.
water spraying unexpectedly is the bachelor slash bachelorette euphemism that for love taking place.
Yes. I mean, we see it constantly on the
look
show.
Look at this, like...
Look at this open hose!
Look at... While they're hugging, and this fountain goes off
is behind
them.
Them. Oh my like, god, look at the waves rushing.
Explode!
Okay, yeah. Yeah, very sexual. So, JoJo brings the guys to a firefighter training center in LA, where they all train to do firefighter
to get
things.
Second place to Grant.
Of course. So, Grant was on the date, and of course, him being a firefighter means he basically would win the date. But
it's a wheelhouse date.
It's a wheelhouse date. So the guys are, you know, competing. And I really like this date because they're not competing to get more one-on-one time with JoJo more than other people. They're just, I don't know. It seems like it. I thought it was a good group date.
I think it's a good group date because I don't like the group dates where it's some sort of competition like this and there's no real reward for winning. It was there was one last year where there was like a race or something, and the girl who won the race got to go on an extra date with Ben. And I like this one because there was a winner. Grant won, and so Grant got more time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, she like that way, she actually gets to meet guys sort of at random.
Right.
And she's not just falling in love with Josh Murray on the first date and then picking him for everything.
Well,
after
and then
that.
And then lest we forget, JoJo does have a little bit of input in how the dates are selected and what is done for which. Now, you know, they probably said, "Well, Grant's a firefighter. We've got this firefighter date. Do you think he should be on it?" And she was like, "Yeah, he should be on this date. He's a firefighter. I want to spend more time with him. He'll probably win. And if he doesn't, he's probably not a very good firefighter." So,
yeah, he doesn't deserve to be here. Let's throw him back home and we can get back in the fire station.
Yeah, bingo.
And fail to save more people's
exactly.
lives.
Exactly. So, of the other people that were on the date, Luke, so they get to...
Luke is the big amateur
right.
winner of this.
Right.
Luke crushes it from the amateur perspective.
Yes.
And at the same time, like, he's hot. You're like, wait a second.
You know, Luke is hotter than I thought he was gonna be.
You thought he's gonna be this cowboy dummy, like, oh,
wait,
shucks,
why don't
we just ride this horse?
Which he also is. However, he's kind of a babe.
He's tan.
Yeah! He looks like he's, like, you know, somebody's mom is olive-toned or something. I'm into it. Oh. Now, somebody else who also made a really great showing is Bay of my life, Wells.
I mean, because of the fantasy game, I
sure.
have to ride Wells. I picked Wells to win everything.
I'm sorry, what?
You heard me.
Okay.
I have to ride Wells.
Great. He said it twice.
He had an okay date.
Yes.
I'm gonna explain this.
He almost died.
I'm gonna explain this.
Okay, go ahead.
So Wells is a wuss, right? Wells is not like all these other guys.
I wouldn't call him a wuss.
These other guys are
he
like...
He has other strengths, Adam.
Right. He's like me. I'm good at some other stuff, but if you put me in a firefighter suit and you're like, you need to carry 200 pounds across this thing,
you'd
be
die.
I'd be like, do I get a buddy? Or could I just call 911?
They're already here. Why do they need me to carry the gear?
Is this mine? You know, physical challenges are not my thing, right?
No.
Math challenges, now we're talking. All right. Riddles, yes. So Wells is a DJ. He's like, he's a weenie. And he said it. He's like, I don't look like the rest of the guys here.
Aww,
which is true.
Wells.
So they put him in the suit, and it's like when a little kid wears his dad's work outfit for the first time. And you're
Professor
like,
Cloppy yeah. shoes. Cloppy, cloppy.
You're like, that tie doesn't fit you. What are you doing?
You're 6 years old wearing your dad's
yeah.
suit.
He looks like that, but they gave him an axe and
yes.
a hose and all this stuff.
Which is also probably the same level of hilarious.
Right. So Wells, like, almost dies. They had to stop
sure,
the contest and
sure.
be like, let's pull this guy out because he's like two chops away from going down for good.
Bingo.
And then they put him in the finals. they're like, all right.
They're pity selected.
We're going to pick the two best guys. And then there's Weakling over here, and have him run the whole thing one more time for fun.
He didn't, I don't even think he made it past, like, burning whatever the pillar down, the pillar of wood down. Like, Wells, putting it out.
Wells either completed off camera or got a DNF. One of them.
I think it was a DNF.
So he loses, but in the end, she's like, I give him the rose for this date because he tried real hard. And this is the problem. We are early in the game, and there are two pools of guys that she is feeding into the next round. This is something we have not talked about before.
Oh.
This is brand new 25 to Life original material.
Oh my god.
I don't think this is true for The Bachelor. When you're The Bachelorette, you keep the most attractive women on no matter what.
No matter what.
It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how they do in the performances, the dates. It doesn't matter how they make you feel.
Yeah.
You keep... If you need eight women, you pick the eight hottest women, and that's it.
And that's it.
On The Bachelorette, you know, she knows she needs to keep, like, 16 guys. She is not attracted to 16 guys. There is a pool of guys that's maybe, like, five or six that she is actually attracted to, and she will keep all of them in until the end.
But
the rest of the time, she's just filling the field with guys that she wants to have around.
But Adam, what about your argument, and Jeff King's argument, as we've always stated on the show, that a guy, in order to be with a woman, and to get a woman, especially someone who's a catch, just has to be not ugly.
I'm not saying he's not ugly.
Because...
I'm not saying he's ugly. So, Will is ugly.
But what about...
Wells is not.
But what about... But talk about that in relationship to what you just said.
All right.
That point.
All right, sure. When a guy goes out for the night, a guy wants to go out with one person who is the hottest girl he knows in his phone.
Hence why we have The Bachelor.
When a girl goes out for the night, she wants to go out with all of her girlfriends, and she wants to... eventually meet with this one guy she's interested in.
Maybe.
So the night will...
If it so works out.
The night will include... The night would not be bad if it just included just her friends.
Also true.
Right?
Yes.
Wells is like her girlfriend. If you believe in the two ladders theory...
How dare you?
Whatever. If you believe in the two ladders
theory... Wells is probably a slow burn friend zone kind of guy.
She's keeping guys from the top of both ladders.
Mm, okay.
The most friendly and also the most attractive. Mm. And I think Wells got a rose... But I think it was entirely a friendship road.
Okay,
platonic
but...
Drama.
I accept that. I see that. But Wells, his first interaction with her was that joking, like, so pure, like, made her, like, really actually laugh. That is so intangible in a relationship when you first meet somebody and they make you laugh from, like, the depths of your diaphragm. That's, I mean, she'll remember that for the rest of... the time on the show.
I think you're right. And Wells has a huge advantage here because he can talk.
He's right! DJ. Yes! He's talk funny. About it! Yes!
He's funny and he can talk. Like, that's what he does for a living.
Right.
All these other guys are idiots.
Idiots and cannot
they
talk.
They can't say anything.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a huge
advantage. It stands out a lot when Wells can do, he can do small talk like that, you know, like a miracle.
And, right.
And I have a feeling as the dates go more and more and more and more, and it's like, you can't just say... Like, hi, I'm Adam. I went to these schools. This is my job. I have a brother and parents and a dog. You know,
parents.
Well, like, that's how all these... That's all the first intros are just, like, these
right.
big things.
Right.
And then after that, you start having actual stuff to talk about.
Right.
And it doesn't just produce itself. You have to make it happen.
And Wells is probably the only person on the show that is probably easily able to do that.
I mean, James Taylor had a pretty good look at it.
Well, we'll talk about James Taylor later. So, the other thing that I want to talk about before we move on to the one-on-one date is that Luke is great.
There was no audible sound, but I was just doing an air hump.
He was air
because
humping.
Of how attracted I
but
am.
But I also want to be very clear and careful with Luke that I think he's going to go very far on the show, but I think he's...
I have Luke finishing in third in my fantasy pool.
Interesting. But I think Luke is going to get to a point where he's going to let the process get to him. It sounded like through his interviews that he was doing, he was getting really amped up on the, I'm not spending enough time with JoJo, I don't know how she feels about me, that kind of thing. It's very early for him to have those kinds of feelings, and I think it might be detrimental to his success on the show. Let's hope he doesn't walk away from it all, because he's a front runner for sure. I hope he doesn't run away from it because of his sort of, I can't handle the process thing.
How much of that do you think is real?
What do you mean?
How much of those feelings do you think he's actually having, and how much do you think they're saying, we gotta have somebody say this?
I think it's 60-40.
Every season of both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is identical. Well, every season is identical. And, it's such a template. And there's always somebody saying it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna mention this when we talk about Chad, because I don't want to get into it yet. Because, you know, there's a point where a lot of the guys, when they get onto the show early, they start to trust the producers because they don't know what the process is. So the producers are just telling them what to say. And so they say it. And whether or not they feel those things is kind of nebulous and you're not sure about it. But I think because the process is so weird that they just end up having all these strong emotions immediately into it. And it's just hard to stop. You know what I mean?
I think he's really saying it because he really means it. Because, but also, because if he was trying to remember what somebody told him to say, it wouldn't come out that fast.
No, well, and I mean, but
he'd say it like, but like I'm he's
doing
feeling...
because they're doing the interviews while she's talking to all the other guys, and so the producers are asking him questions. But then when he says it back, they are saying, "Okay, when you say it back, say when I'm not talking to JoJo, I feel like this." They're doctoring.
Thank you for saying that, but here's what you need to say.
Exactly.
So we can have the audio.
Exactly. So, on to the one-on-one date. So, Wells got the rose. We love it. And
huzzah!
Can we talk about Wells' beanie for a second? Okay, let's not. I'll just talk about it.
No, because everyone's got a beanie.
No, Wells has a better beanie.
Wells has the beaniest.
Ugh, the beanie. So, Derek got the one-on-one date.
Who?
Right?
Who is Derek?
Or as some people like to call him, Jim from The Office.
Wait, did Derek just come in this episode?
No, Derek was in the last episode, too. He was the one that said something about Harry Potter and was kind of goony about it.
I'm
going to
throw the challenge thing. I don't think Derek existed.
So, Derek and JoJo basically go on a choose-your-own-adventure date where they end up in San Francisco for the day and then come back to LA for the evening for dinner. I'm going to say something, but this is not Adam's segment called Let Me Say Something.
So I will still have a chance to respond.
Correct. You will still have a chance to respond.
So the rules are clear.
So as I continue to watch the episode, the guys, sure, JoJo is gravitating to the classically traditional sort of square-jawed gentleman. However, there is a contingent of guys that are not traditional that she is really into. Someone like Derek, someone like Wells, someone like James Taylor. Does JoJo like goobers?
No, I think this is the two ladders thing.
Adam, are you JoJo's type?
I hope so.
Oh, God.
No, you know what? I really don't hope so.
Really?
I don't.
But those boobs.
The boobs, JoJo's boobs are so good you can almost not tell what else is going on.
All right.
But they are definitely fake.
Yeah.
So, like, actual interaction would score low.
All right.
And then here's something that I noticed on this date. This is the first time we've really seen JoJo speak at length on camera.
Okay.
Because the first episode, kind of everyone's running around. Yeah. About who's
it's
there.
Not about her. It's about the guys.
And then the group date was, like, about what the guys are doing.
Sure.
On this date, you know, JoJo is half of the people on camera for the whole date.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that you and I noticed when we were putting together the sound bites for the intro and outro music for this season.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo can't end sentences.
No.
Okay. This is something, if you're listening, I want you to pay so much attention to this next week. Write this down. JoJo doesn't end sentences.
Nope.
She gets to the end of a sentence, and then she puts in a conjunction. And then she just says something else.
Sure.
And then she just does that. And here's what I wrote these down. There are 7 coordinating conjunctions that you remember with the acronym fanboys.
It's yeah.
For and nor but or yet so. That is the way she talks. Listen, we had a really good date. And we took this airplane ride from San Francisco from LA. But we made these choices, so it wasn't all planned out for us. Yet. And I was like, what are you doing?
I hate you. I can't believe you just took me through an acronym that lets me know a part of speech and yet also connected them back to an example that is related to what we just watched.
Yeah, it's a grammar lesson.
It's the teacher in you. We just can't get it out of you.
We had a great time on this date. but now it's time to eat dinner. Yet our food isn't here. Nor is our drink. So, oh my god!
Stop it.
It's just maddening. Listen, those are the words. Listen to her next time, and for everyone listening, listen to her talk on these one-on-one dates. Anytime she has more than just one or two, like, seconds, she just peppers in these conjunctions everywhere. That's not the way sentences work!
The beauty of this is that hopefully one day we'll get you to stop saying, And you'll hear her saying all of these conjunctions, and then you'll hear yourself, and you'll say, wow, I sound like a crazy
but
person.
But I'm not that bad. She does it every time.
So Derek and JoJo had a really good date. She seems to be getting to the point with a lot of these guys, especially during her one-on-one time with them. She wants to know, tell me about your past relationships. What's going on? Why are you crazy? Tell me why you're on the show. Derek, I guess, was cheated on. Big deal. Who cares? He got a rose.
Let me say something.
No, wait, let me say something.
What? JoJo's relationship with Ben wasn't a relationship. She can't just walk into this thing and be like, tell me about your past relationships. Okay, let me tell you about mine. I dated this guy named Ben. He ended up being with this girl named Lauren. Like, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. This date was all, like, she kept bringing up her thing with Ben. She's like, oh, I want to have what Ben has with Lauren. Like, stop. What you had with Ben, it's fake. What you were having with all these guys, it's fake too. But at least you have to pretend like other stuff matters. That's it.
I didn't understand a one word you said.
So that was Adam's Let Me Say Something.
Let's go to the next group date. A great group date. Wow. Just a good idea for a date.
Yes, a great idea for a date. It was, you know, of all the times where ABC likes to introduce its own content into the show, this was done very seamlessly. Would you agree?
It was.
It didn't feel like it was a promotional experience. It didn't feel like,
it
wow.
It felt like that.
I know, but it didn't feel like...
But it was
like,
appropriate.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like, wow, now I guess I have to go and see Beauty and the Beast. Because they shoved it down my throat.
Who is this musical act I've never seen before, who just is also going to appear on TV on ABC in the next couple of weeks?
And also has a record coming out that is also on ABC's record label. How interesting.
Yeah, so there's only like six or seven guys in this date.
Right.
And they show up at the ESPN Sports Nation studio.
Correct.
Which is a show that's on the air every day. They yep. talk about sports. They yep. do this thing. And
they talk about sports nationally.
Yes. Oh, I get it. I see what you're doing.
Bingo.
So they bring these guys on, and then they have the hosts of the show, Max Kellerman and Marcellus Wiley.
Marcellus.
Right, he's wonderful.
Love Marcellus.
They put the guys through a bunch of these stupid little tasks, and the goal is for everyone to show how goofy they can be and how much fun they can have, and that's it.
And can I just say, before I get into everything, really cute shirt JoJo had on with the lace and then the collar and everything, really feeling it. Additionally, did Sports Nation get power rankings from us, or did we get power rankings from them? Discuss amongst yourselves.
Our legal team is on it. Our researchers are on it, and our legal team is on it.
I mean, patent pending.
Yeah, somebody will figure this out very soon.
Yes.
So the guys have to do, they do this rose celebration dance,
mm-hmm.
Which is fun. That's just a good idea.
Yes. There's
you gotta be goofy for 5 seconds.
Yeah, there's a, you know, baseball sort of where you spin around with the baseball bat and then have to propose to JoJo. Right.
Exactly how I did it.
There's a faux...
exactly yeah, how I
exactly
did it.
Exactly how Adam did it. There's a faux press conference. There's all these sort of challenges. A really, really good date. Lots of fun. Early on in the date, because Alex is on the date with Chad, and it is clear that Alex and Chad are at odds,
yeah,
if
like
you
a
will.
Captain America, Iron Man, Civil War situation.
Yeah, but who's Captain America?
Well, I don't know.
Alex.
0% body fat in all four of those people.
Yeah.
It becomes obvious very early in this date that Chad is public enemy number one here. He's going to be the guy that we all hate. That's who he's going to be. And Alex is sort of the leader of the resistance.
Right. And I really thought that, you know, this was going to be the end of Chad being himself. I thought he was going to check himself after he made that comment about JoJo being naggy during the proposal, which I didn't really find to be all that offensive.
It's not offensive, but like it breaks the unspoken rules of these dates.
Yes.
You don't trash the other guys. You know, you
especially
focus.
Especially this early in the game.
You use your percent. Mm-hmm. You don't trash the other guys. You have fun. The yes. goal of these dates is not to win the dates. The goal is to yes. show her that you can have fun doing anything.
Now, an argument that I will make about Chad, mm. and it's the same argument that I have made about Charlene, but Charlene is a perfect human being, so she can do no wrong. However, Chad is a little bit more aggressive than Charlene, but here's what I will say about making the connection between the two. Charlene was always very vocal about the process of being on the show and just seeing where it goes. Saying to herself that because she's never met Juan Pablo, she doesn't know what the relationship might be, and it seems ridiculous that all these women are here and they're completely in love with him and they've never met him and that kind of thing. So on that level, I see where her and Chad are aligned. But Chad is saying all of that same stuff, and that I get. However, the aggression is ridiculous.
But all that, like, that suspicion or whatever, that sense of not knowing.
Would you call it suspicion? Because I don't call it that. I mean, whatever, you know, it's part of the
skepticism.
Game. It's, but, you know, coming on the show and playing along with the JoJo so beautiful and I came on the show for her and I'm in love with her, blah, blah, blah. That's part of the game. You got to get yourself all psyched up to be in this situation to begin with. So, on the one hand, I see what Chad is trying to say. On the other hand, you know, you got to play the game a little bit. And he's not even
doing
that.
You
got to
play the game all the way.
Yeah. You can't, no.
You can't just be like, well, I just met her yesterday. I'm not in love with her. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, and then some of the game is playing well with the other guys. So even if you have that stance on the show saying that, you know, I don't know if I care about this person yet, you have to be likable in order to, you know, keep that part able to be part of your personality, I guess.
No, the conceit of the show is that there is one person who is so extraordinarily wonderful that 25 people love that person so much that they will show up and compete for them. That's the point of the show. JoJo doesn't have to impress Chad at all.
No.
Chad, the conceit of the show is that Chad starts out from a position where he wants her.
Yeah.
He has to do that. It's just the way the show works.
Right. And you don't get on the show or stay on the show.
This is not a two-way street.
Yeah, if you can't.
You don't
get
to give her a rose at the end.
No.
She's there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So the other thing that I'll say is that as Chad continues to be more and more, quote-unquote, honest and awful, I find that his candor seems to be almost producer plant-like. It almost seems so ridiculous that he is acting the way that he is this far at the beginning of the game that it doesn't seem authentic. Now, I will say that, you know, he probably...
Doesn't seem authentic should be the subtitle of this entire series.
Bro team, colon.
No.
Doesn't seem authentic.
The Bachelor, doesn't seem authentic.
Doesn't seem authentic. I will say that, you know, because he doesn't have a lot of relationships in the house, he's not saying a lot of these sort of one-off, like, weird things to other people. He's only saying them
saving
to
them
the
up.
Producers. No, and I think the producers know that his personality is so volatile that, I mean, the only person he's hanging out with is Daniel, and everybody hates him.
That's because he's a weirdo.
And so, Chad, the only outlet that he has are these producers. And so the producers are probably egging him on, saying, tell us more, Chad. Tell us more about why you don't like these guys. And that's why they're getting such good footage. Some of it is edited. Some of it is real. So, I don't know.
I think, so here's what's funny to me, is that I say, you know, every season of this show is identical. And every season, somebody emerges early as the villain.
Yeah.
And it's
not this early. This is crazy.
That's true, but somebody has to emerge sometime as the villain, and it's Chad.
It's Chad.
And that person is usually a person who does not get along with everybody else in the house.
Correct.
And JoJo knows this.
Yeah. I mean,
it always blows me away that everyone knows that this person, everyone's always like, well, all the other guys are saying that he's not great, but I don't see it. And you're like, it doesn't matter if you see it or not. Historically, this person always is the problem.
I will also make mention of it a little bit later on once we get to the end of the show.
Yeah, I have another reason for that too.
So, she's seen this. So after the catastrophic ESPN experience, great date, but you know, bad because of Chad. We get some one-on-one time with JoJo and James Taylor, which...
Who seems like just a big old sweetie.
Oh my god! Is he wonderful or what?
James Taylor is, like, he is the classic... classic, like, all one type of person who is not the typical type of person in the show.
100%.
He is not muscular. He's not particularly attractive. Yeah. He seems a little slow. But he's nice.
He's a nice guy.
And he always wants to pull out his guitar and sing a song to you. That's like a superpower.
James Taylor is so sweet. I kind of am into him. And, you know, he wrote that beautiful poem for JoJo or whatever he wrote for her. Made her cry. I think she was on her period because it was not that cute. But it was really sweet.
I wonder. Her first two group date roses went to... the two least typical guys.
Which is why, and then the one-on-one date with Derek, which is why, you know, we've all talked about Jordan being the front runner from the beginning of this thing, but I don't know. I think she likes a goober.
I think
not to say that you're a goober, honey.
I think she's keeping two very separate pools of guys. I think somebody gave her the advice early on, like, hey, find a bunch of guys who you don't mind being around the house. And make sure they stay in, and then worry about the guys you actually like later.
Well, and I think that's kind of what Caitlin said, you know, whatever, for take it with a grain of salt, whatever, well, that's her whatever advice. You think.
You're going to pick the guy you love instantly, and then just everyone else just pick cool guys.
Well, but I mean, that was what she said. They said, you know, the guy that you are so, like, super sexually attracted to, like, keep him at a distance. Get to know some of the other guys that you're not super attracted to, and then maybe see how you feel in the next couple of weeks, which is great advice, and it sounds like she's really taking it.
Let's go to the rose ceremony.
James Taylor got a rose, by the way.
Let's go to the rose ceremony.
Oh, boy. So before we start the rose ceremony...
It's all Chad. It's all Chad hour.
And because of that, I'm going to take my bro moment of the week.
Check this out, bro. Bro him. Yeah, professor. Nice bro-tata chip. Protein shake. Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, please enlighten us.
My bro moment of the week, of course, goes to Chad. It could have been any number of things. Oh, it could have been all of the meat he was eating. It could have been the fact that he packed up all of his protein in a luggage bag and then started doing pull-ups that were waist-weighted. But the real gem for the bro moment of this week was when Chad said, if you took all of these guys and blended them up into a protein shake, I said, I've never heard any...
Everyone lost you on this analogy, dude. I said, everyone lost you.
Or did everybody hear you on this analogy? Everybody knows what protein shakes do, and I'm intrigued to hear more. So, Chad, thank you for this bro moment of the week. Thank you for everything that you've done. Also, interesting thing to note in the bro moment of the week, which does apply to some bros, Chad knows West Side Story?
I don't know if he did. He didn't specifically say it. I don't know if
that's
a copyright
thing. But he said these guys
thing.
Came at me like it was West Side Story, like the Sharks versus the Jets. And I said, okay, now I know some bros do like Broadway musicals. Honey, I know you're not a bro, but you love Les Mis.
They're intoxicating.
They are. But for him to know West Side Story, I wouldn't say it's a deep cut, but I'd say kudos to you, sir.
So, the entire rose ceremony is basically Chad walking around the house eating, and everyone else following him complaining about what he's doing.
Sure.
Right?
Yep, pretty much.
And he's also, like, cutting guys off from their dates.
Which is extremely uncool. Like, okay, the first time you do it, fine. The second time you do it, okay.
No, it's too much. Use the percent you have.
Okay, you. Like, third time, like, please
don't
no.
take Evan's percent. Evan doesn't need percent.
Okay, and then when you talk about percent, someone who I really enjoy... Alex, he has been using a lot of his percent or a lot of his perceived percent to talk about what Chad is doing and how terrible he
is. That's definitely true.
I feel like Alex is going to be on the show for a while, but eventually he is going to ruin himself single-handedly by focusing so much on Chad and not about the fact that he's so short.
Alex, whoa. You can't help what size you are.
Now, are you taller than Alex, or is he taller than you?
I think we're probably similar heights.
But width?
Width is very different because I'm kind of a scrawny guy, and he's thick.
He's all shoulders.
He's all muscles, yeah.
He's all shoulders.
So he might look bigger.
Yes, that is true.
But Alex is in this weird, like murder-suicide thing. He's like, yeah, I'll take out Chad.
Yeah.
But all it's going to do is ruin his chances.
Said the Marine. He's like, I'll dive on this grenade for you guys.
I'll do it. And everyone else is like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. She's going to see that you're doing this, and you're out of here.
Who cares? The other few people, let's focus on some other people that got some pretty good PT. Chase, who was nowhere to be seen this entire episode.
He didn't get any of the dates.
Had a really nice moment with JoJo, brought out the snow for her. Now, what is his job again? Medical sales bro. And he lives in Colorado, so of course the snowboarding thing is very on brand for him. And I thought that was really sweet. I mean, obviously, another producer plant moment. They said, Chase, we can bring in some snowflakes. Is that something you want? And he probably was like, yeah, sure, if it's free. And he did it. I think Chase is another person that'll go far. Chase, Chad, and Jordan all look the same, so that means she'll probably keep them around for a while.
They all look the same.
Yeah, she'll probably keep at least two of them around for a while. And we already know Jordan's in the bag.
I think so. I'm ready to move on to power rankings. Are you?
I am ready to move on to power rankings with the caveat that, as you know, JoJo did get to the cocktail party. She called Chad's name last, but said it with a sigh. Did you notice that?
I think it's all a producer thing.
Did you notice that how she said it, though? She said, she went, Chad. Like, oh, God.
I think they know who she's going to pick ahead of time, and they sort of pick the order that they come out.
Oh, for sure.
So I don't think she picked him last. I don't think she, like, got to a point where she was picking between him and then the field. I think she knew who was going to be, and the producers were like, there's all this Chad drama.
And they were cutting back and forth to, like, Chad's, like, raising his eyebrow or looking over at somebody. Like, I mean, the rose ceremony goes on for hours. Like, it is just a parade of footage. Like, so him having that attitude during the rose ceremony, I don't really feel like that was totally him. Some of it was definitely editing, which is why, outside of Chad's violence, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I feel very bad for Fi, who has to count how many fantasy points Chad are in this
movie. Oh my God.
He was swearing, was shirtless, he was threatening.
Exploded.
Oh my God.
Exploded.
Chad's going to have, I mean, it's only the second week of the app, but Chad's going to set an immensely high, I would imagine, an immensely high single week high score. It's going to be very hard to reach.
No question about it. Let's do our power rankings.
Power rankings. Who do you have at number four?
Number four is James Taylor. I have seen fire and I have seen rain. And James Taylor might go pretty far in this program.
Oh, I thought you were going to rhyme with rain.
No, I mean, I have to use a different song every time because it's James Taylor.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a...
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have Jordan in number four. He slipped for me.
Yeah.
Didn't do a lot. Like,
okay.
The Sports Nation date could have been a wheelhouse date for him.
Right.
And he did not take advantage of it.
Right.
Like, if you're a quarterback and you can't win the touchdown dance celebration thing.
And the other thing is that everybody knows he's Aaron Rodgers' brother. So it almost kind of hurts him in the long run.
You're always being compared to a guy that, like, you're just never going to be better than.
He won the Super Bowl. You didn't.
Yeah, and he's Aaron Rodgers.
like, who are you?
Sorry. My number three, I think, again, is Luke. No, Luke was number two for me last week. I've got Luke at number three.
I also have Luke at number three.
Because he's so good looking.
He's so good looking! And he surprised me. I think his whole, like, having a job thing is going to be a challenge for me in the long run. But I really like him.
He doesn't need a job. He's a TV star.
Yeah, I really like him, but I really think that his general attitude about the process is going to hurt him in the long run. My number two is Wells.
I've got James Taylor at number two.
Wow.
So I held back on comments.
I think Wells really killed it on his one-on-one time with JoJo. She gave him a pity rose for sure. Gave him pity attention for sure. But he, talk about using your percent. He knew how to get in there and really talk to her like a human being and not by starting with, you're so beautiful. I'm sure every time she hears that from any one of these guys, she wants to throw up.
I'm sure it still feels good when she hears it. But at the same time, if you hear from 25 guys that you're beautiful, and if you hear from a 26th guy, whatever else, it's going to stick out.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's how you, it's kind of how you win this game.
He really made her laugh. He really, oh, Wells.
I've got Wells at number one.
Do you really?
Again, yeah. He was my number one last week. He's my number one this week.
I love
him. You can't say that he moved down based on the episode he had.
He was great. Wells was great this episode. My number one is still Jordan. I believe that their relationship is textbook bachelor, bachelorette.
The same four guys just shuffle up order.
Well, but you know,
do this independently.
We do.
The thing.
Well, I think finally you stopped picking guys that you like and just started picking guys.
Oh, I like
that...
Wells. And Luke.
Well, Wells isn't really your type. Robbie's more of your type.
I don't know about that. I like an alternative girl every once in a while.
Okay, girl. Sure.
Like Wells.
Yeah, you like a girl with one of those emo haircuts.
Oh, wouldn't mind.
One of those straight edge haircuts.
I just growing up listening to Alanis. Just turn me on to that style.
Like,
you know?
Early Hayley Williams from Paramore. You like that.
Like current day Alanis Morissette is what I'm talking about.
Also on brand for you.
Or any 1990 like 4 to 2 current Alanis Morissette. Yeah, any of that. Anyway.
So, next week, we have two episodes. So, we'll have an episode on Tuesday, and we'll have an episode on Wednesday morning. Also, something to mention about the trailer. It sounds like things escalate violently next week.
There's going to be some violence. So, more violence than we can contain on one podcast episode.
So, we're going to do two.
So, we're going to grace you with two.
Yeah. Deal with it.
You're welcome.
So, I think that's pretty much it. We're still engaged, so that's good.
Just as engaged as last week. Yeah. Maybe even more so.
Questionable. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
I'm actually feeling feelings.
I'm really excited. Let me just tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Totally excited and overwhelmed. I feel like this could happen right now. I'm really excited. That was the worst feeling. It was amazing. I would never find another lover.